It's very good, actually. I will just corroborate in different ways what has been taking place among us in this hour we've been together. Daniel, Mark brought Daniel to us, and I don't know what you thought of what you may have seen on the news this week with Putin and President of China, and of course the gentleman from North Korea, and all the show of power. It came again and again on our news, BBC. It's usually our habit to watch the 6 o'clock news as it comes in the evening. It's about the time we're having our light tea at home here. And we try and sort of stomach it as long as we can for maybe 15 minutes. And I wonder what you thought, but I got up from and moved away, and Hazel said to me, "The Lord brings down and the Lord puts up." And that's, as I was leaving the room, the Lord raises and the Lord puts down. And she was, that was what she said. And I went out and I had to do something briefly. And while I was in the process of doing what I was doing, my heart turned to the book of Daniel. And of course, immediately, I was thinking of Nebuchadnezzar and the way he was put out to grass. And you'll remember that great breakdown linked with his pride. That's the thing that I sensed so terribly as I watched the news, the pride of man, the pride in these three men strutting, and in the face of God, in the face of mankind. And sometimes I must confess, I worry a little bit about another man of great power in the world, of course, who is to the Western side. And you know who I'm referring to. And the lifting up of the heart in pride, the Lord puts down and the Lord raises up. And the man Daniel, of course, so what I did, I allowed my heart to move along these reflections again. And in fact, I'm got to do a Zoom in with the Malaysian brothers and sisters tomorrow. And I'm working my way into the book of the Revelation rather slowly. But nevertheless, I'm working my way in there. And of course, you can't go into the book of the Revelation without letting your mind dwell in Daniel, 12 chapters of Daniel, and where Daniel was dealing with the beasts, where Daniel was interpreting the dreams and the happenings, where the beasts were first appearing, And so I read my way through Daniel yesterday again, reflecting, just not looking for any great, just wanting to feel again. And of course, you will all know that you follow through Daniel, and all the chapters are not in order. They're not all in order, as you will find out, a little bit out of order. Quite why that is, I don't know. But of course, you've got Darius, you've got Nebuchadnezzar, you've got Belshazzar, these different eras, the time where the Babylonian Empire fell to the Empire of the Medes and the Persians. And so you've got an era of 80 years at least, taking in Daniel's life from his young teenage years to in chapter one, going right through and beyond when he was put in the lion's den, well into his 80s. And this man whom the Lord set there in the midst of all these goings on, and he set us in the midst of all these goings on. He set his church in the midst of all these goings on. And we are troublemakers, and we are. You cannot do anything other in your church than cause trouble if you will really drink deeply of his spirit and his ways. And now I don't want to go into Daniel, I just want to go into three Psalms. It's all I want to do. And just three Psalms, 46, 62, and 75. Because they, so 46, 75, and 62. And you'll notice a similarity in all of them, and how these psalms, of course, we don't sing them much, but some people I know will pray their way through the Psalms twice a year. They will move through the Psalms twice a year. It's 150 of them. You can do it. Some are longer than others. But 46. And well, it's quite a psalm. And tremendous psalm, really, about the river in the streams whereof that's in the city of God. And it's a spiritual river, and it makes glad the city of God. And the psalm begins, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. And I'm very aware, even in my little home church, that there are only a certain proportion of the people that really know that God is a very present help, and that we're in trouble. We're in times of trouble. I'm aware of that, that Not many people in the church are really aware that he's very present. He's very present. But there are some who know. And I realize that the key to so much is in the few that are the seers. How do you become a seer? How do you become someone who gets beyond seeing to make you a bit critical, and a bit negative and a bit cynical and makes you pull? How do you get to the place where you get beyond? Because there's plenty of people who've pulled out of the churches, or go reluctantly, who've seen a bit. They realize something's wrong. They may discern that instead of pastors, you've got managers, and instead of true worshippers, you've got entertainers. So often, they've seen that much and got fed up with it and walked away. But how do you get beyond that to really see prophetically? And I believe that one of the things that contributes to that is doing the Psalms, meditating, and letting the Spirit lead you to take time. Therefore, we all won't fear, he says. And, in this, these men were in the thick of things. We're in the thick of things. The church is in the thick of things. The pride is all around us. Waters troubled. You can read through the Psalm 46, and the perspective this man has arrived at and gives voice to is quite wonderful. We don't fear, though things are being removed, though the earth be removed, though mountains be carried. This is tremendous. God, the God-conscious man. And of course, his perspective about the river and the streams, where he's seeing that the city of God, that there is a river. I wish I could say that, where some of the churches that I go to and speak, hardly anyone's seeing that the river's running right through the midst of it. The river's right there running through the church. And the streams of forgiveness and the streams of reconciliation and the streams, one river breaking into many streams, streams of forgiveness, streams of righteousness, streams of reconciliation and redemption, streams of inward healing and healing of the memories. Streams are running. And but this man, God's in the midst of her. God's in the midst of her. That's how he gets to in the fifth verse. And I'm running through just quickly because. But to meditate on phrase by phrase by phrase is a wonderful thing. And of course, you've got the heathen raging. And these are thoughts that I immediately had as I was reflecting on the pride of man that strutted in Beijing. and all the show of strength and power. And of course, obviously, my mind ran to the Daniel book and the Belshazzar pride, the great feast that went on, and the writing on the wall, and you begin to realize, you see, we can't have thoughts about the world alone. The world, we can't have thoughts about the church alone. Do you understand what I mean? We can't have thoughts about ourselves as individuals alone. The real thinking, the real working of the spirit in our hearts is both personal. It's corporate as far as our assembly, our fellowship, where we fellowship is concerned, and it is national and international. The disturbance of what's happened in the British government just this very week as well. And this powerhouse of the two, Starmer and Rayner, the young single parent mother at 17, and from a working class background, and and things have happened that have brought her down. And writing on the wall. It's remarkable that the. So you're all going to be. We cannot move on with God personally, individually, privately, alone. We cannot be. I always think of Thomas Merton in this regard, where he took that little trip from New York down to Kentucky to the Gethsemane monastery, the Trappist silent monastery, and just for a weekend. And he experienced an incredible moving of God upon his soul as he watched and listened to these monks, some of whom were very, very godly men, without any doubt, given themselves up to God. And he listened to them pray the Psalms and go through the seven times a day that they do that. And he knew that this place was more important than the White House, that these praying men who were sold out to God and praying these things, why does the heathen rage? The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge now. Pause and think about that. Church, pause and think about that. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease, and now we begin to come to it. The man who begins to pray through the Psalms, meditate upon these things and the great books like Daniel, and just don't try to find interpretation for this and that detail. This is where people have gone so wrong. in Daniel and in the Revelation book. What is God saying in the overall thrust of the prophetic thing he's bringing out through the whole story? You know, you're getting it here. This happens, that happens, the heathen rage, kingdoms were moved, but he maketh the wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Absolutely remarkable. And we'll find something similar to this in the other two Psalms that I've mentioned. This perspective, this realization, this that touches my me as an individual, my city, my church, the people of God, that touches the economy, that touches world events, that touches the lifted up pride of man, that grants to me perspective. And all you can do as a result of reflecting on these things again is be still and know that I am God, which is the 10th verse. That's it. It all comes from stillness. Everything. I think that you might agree with me. You should be asking God to still your mind. The raging thought, the running tap of even sometimes thinking too quickly, too biblically, from verse to verse, from thing to thing, from anxiety to anxiety. Lord, help me to still my mind. Help me to still my mind. Blessed Spirit, by the way, you know, I'll not leave you comfortless without a helper. My Father will give you the Spirit. I'll give you the Spirit. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. Oh, Spirit of God, should we pray to him? Oh, Spirit, what a gift you are. You're the burning fire of love, the divine love. You can aid me to be still. You can make sure that I know God. And be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It's a tremendous psalm, isn't it? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Back to the idea of the refuge. Refuge doesn't suggest to me that we're just sort of holed up somewhere safe. It's to do with a profound security, because he's given us perspective. So slip over into 62. And as I say, I only wanted to just focus. And we'll find, truly, my soul waiteth. So you've got Be still. That's 46. You'll begin to see the river that's in the midst. You'll begin to see the river. You really will. If you're still, you'll begin to see that God is in the midst of you. And God is in the earth, and he's making wars to cease, and he's doing things. We'll begin to see. Amen. Be still, and it'll just lead us to further stillness. And now you've got this one. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock. Tremendous. He only is my rock. You know, one of the things about rock in scripture is that when rock is introduced to us, you might remember this, Moses talks about rock, doesn't he? Do you remember when we really meet rock first of all is to do with other people's rocks, not like our rock. Do you remember? The other people's rocks, the things they rely on. Our rock is not like unto, you know, it's lovely. It's Moses in Deuteronomy at the end. In his song. And you know, the rock in the scripture, their rock was a moving rock. Isn't that right? So it wasn't just security, it was a rock that was giving forth water all the time. And apparently they didn't avail themselves of the water. You know, their rock was in the midst of them, giving forth water, and sometimes they complained for water. But Moses, actually, sorry, Paul the Apostle, says that the rock followed them. And yet they somehow, because of present troubles, the weariness of the way, the difficulties of the day, the enmity, the preventions and the things that were in their own hearts, sort of struggling and fighting, somehow caused a veil to go across their hearts and minds. And so they somehow didn't discern that the rock was still there. Have you thought about that? That somehow a veil came down upon them, brought by their own disobedience, brought by the presence of things hitting them from outside. And so they thought the rock, well, they'd left that behind. It gave forth his water earlier on. But Paul seems to think that the rock followed them the whole time because he knew the nature of God. You see, that, you know, and I see this happening very clearly with many lives, with my own, especially in earlier days, where there were times where things within, things without, began to obstruct my perception that this wonderful refuging rock, El Refugio, in Spanish, you know, the rock is a moving rock. He follows us and he gives forth sustenance for us, clear water. And, you know, for God alone my soul waits in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. And then he talks about getting set upon. And we'll get set upon. How long will you set upon a man to shatter him, all of you? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his eminence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Pause and think about that. That's what they think the word Selah means, don't they? Pause. No one really knows what it means, but they suggest it means pause and just give some thought to that. Don't rush on. Don't rush on. Don't rush on. This is what the enemy's like. Then he goes back onto it. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. We don't have to have a lot of prayers. We don't have to have a lot of words. He's looking for our presence, not our prayers. He's looking for our companionship. He's looking for our face-to-faceness. He's looking for our attention. Looking for my attention. It can be in the toilet. It can be in the shower. It can be in the study. It can be in the car. We're not to segregate our lives into, we mustn't sink back into the old evangelical thing of having my quiet time, and that's that. Now get on with other things. This wonderful availability, this readiness of the Lord, he's in the midst of us. And I want to encourage you on that very, very much. Don't be afraid. In the toilet, in the, wherever, in the shower, in the car, in the most mundane and ordinary of things. Some of you know that I, used to, I've done a lot of chairs. There's this one, oh dear, I don't know whether I can, that one I just finished this week. You see all this weaving of the, let me go near to it and so you can have a good look at it. And I've done three sets of six of these that were wrecked. It's all individual weave. And I find it quite a joy. And a chair like that, that'll take that there's probably 35 hours in that chair. Not just doing that. 35 hours, half hour here, half hour there. Just stop for a minute and put the rattan in the water, soak it for a minute, and then begin to work with it and spray with the water. And you go and you begin to weave. And, just something ordinary like that. And with the Lord, with the Lord, the waiting heart. God alone, my soul waits, my hopes from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. I find it very lovely. I don't know whether you spotted the graduation from verse three, two to verse six. Did you notice? I shall not be. At the end of verse two, and at the end of verse six, I shall not be. Do you notice an absent word in verse six that's present in verse two? Did you notice that? In verse two, he says, "I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly." But he seems to have gone on a bit. "I shall not be shaken." You know, that's verse six. I shall not be. I shall not be. You know, the word greatly has disappeared. You know, oh man, it seems to be the, on God rests my deliverance. I'm on seven now, and my honor, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. I mean, trust in Him at all times. Now he's getting bold enough to exhort others. You know, trust in Him at all times, oh people, oh people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Now He's gone beyond the me. He's gone beyond the I, and the Lord has taken him to the people. He's taken him to the us. He's taken him with the word of assurance and encouragement, of prophetic utterance, of, you know, because all prophetic, you know, real meetings should be meetings of real encouragement. I reckon you all felt encouraged just by this hour and a half we've had together already. I reckon you felt encouraged as soon as, you know, we began to pray, chat a bit, see one another's faces, and it's a proper meeting. You know, meetings aren't simply for education and even revelation, but for everything is to let all things be done unto building up encouragement. And, you know, amen. You know, have a pause and think about this. You know, God is for us. He's a refuge for us. Just have a pause and think about this boldness that comes, because Mike was praying about boldness. And I know it's the Lord, the certitude of the Lord that comes from just growing in the knowledge of Him, having waited upon Him, and, you know, just coming to this kind of God awareness. Isn't it lovely? Boldness comes. And then he gets on to the same theme. Men of low estate are but a breath, and men of high estate are a delusion. Yeah. See, these are the verses that came flooding to me as I watched those men strut in Beijing. Men of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are altogether lighter than breath. Put no confidence in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your hearts upon them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. Verse 11, that power belongs to God, authority belongs to God, and that to thee, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For thou dost requite a man according to his work. I've heard this. It's really been confirmed to me. As I've been, because that's what once have I heard it, God has spoken, twice have I heard it. It's really been confirmed to me again and again and again that power belongs to God. He puts up, and he, you know, these men of low estate are a breath, and men of high estate are a delusion. Oh Lord, help us to see with your holy perceptions. Perspective. Tremendous, isn't it? But you've got this same, be still, let your soul wait in silence upon God. He is for you, my brother. He is for you. He is working out the counsels of his will. Amen. And then I switch to 75. Hallelujah. We give thee thanks. O God, we give thanks. We call on thy name and recount thy wondrous deeds. Yeah. Amen. I'm just thinking of Mark's elation at the beginning of our Zoom and his edification at just with the BSF people going through Daniel 1 and 2, recounting the wonderful deeds of the Lord. You know, we call on your name and recount thy wondrous deeds. It's such a value in going through Daniel, for instance, the wonderful deeds of the Lord. You know, that interpretation, that dream and interpretation that God gave to Daniel, wasn't it remarkable in chapter 2? You remember when Nebuchadnezzar was going to give everybody the chop, all the magicians, and you got, I had a dream last night, it troubled me. I don't know what it was, but you interpret it for me, will you? And tell me the dream and never, you know, and God did it. You know, it's a wonderful work of God. A tremendous thing. God, you know, what did he say in the dream? You remember it, don't you? Of course you do. It was of that great image, wasn't it? You know, in the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and the mixture of, I mean, it's all there. It's all there. Oh Lord, you really are in charge. Can we put it that way? What a carnal way of saying it. You're in charge. Oh dear. That's, well, but it's wonderful. Let's recount thy wondrous deeds, Lord. Isn't that one of the things we, you know, not try and discover great hidden typological secrets in the Old Testament, but let's just recount his deeds. Let's start there. Some people spend their time, you know, trying to dissect every little event and get types and figures out of it. But let's just recount thy wondrous deeds. Encourage one another with it. You know, and I think of Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and getting really so beautiful as men, you know, on vegetables and pulse, you know, and all the rich food, you know. Let's get simple. Let's get simple. You know, this is what Daniel, no, we don't want to eat the king's rich food. We're not interested in that. We, you know, just give us vegetables. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. As at the set time, verse 2, which I appoint, I will judge with equity, the Lord says. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keeps steady its pillars. When it totters. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, or speak with insolent neck. And of course, that brings me back to Daniel. I'm sure it brings you back to Daniel, because so many of those beasts had horns. Don't lift up. And they lifted up their horns. And there was a little horn that smashed down some of the big horns. And he got lifted up. And he made war on the saints. And You can, and he managed to get an advantage over them. But don't lift up your horn on high or speak with insolent neck, isn't it? You know, for not from the east or from the west and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. That's quite something, isn't it? But it is God. It is God. You know, don't go into the wilderness, Bernard. Don't try and, you know, it all comes from God. Not from the east, not from the west. It is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there's a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he will pour a draught from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. These things are so challenging to me. The wicked and the good, the seed, the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the wicked one. And he's got the time when he will make them drink the cup. Leave it to him. Let's keep ourselves to, and let him put up and put down. Believe him to do it, that he's working out and that he has this cup in his hand, and that you and I, you know, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but you can see men lifting up their horn in some churches, pushing their way through, and it troubles, doesn't it? Puts up, and I will rejoice forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked shall be cut off. He will cut them off. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. The right authority, the right power. So he's right in this realm, and that's all I want to say. I just wanted to take those, bring those psalms to us, and the thoughts of being there in them, waiting, still, giving thanks. I don't know whether you notice the graduation that's in the three psalms. The first one was being still, the second one was waiting, and then the giving thanks is in you know, we'll rejoice forever. Sing praises to the God of Jacob. Somehow I just see in those three a coming together as they came to me during the week, last 2 or 3 days. And, you know, there's Psalms to come back to, there's Psalms to meditate upon. They are things to feed upon. There is perspective in them, complete perspective that is way beyond the critical faculties. It's just seeing from his perspective. It's this that makes the church prophetic. We're become a prophetic people. One of the things my studies in Revelation again has led me just through to this, these people of God bearing testimony to God in the midst and thick of all things. Prophetic people, prophetic church, the whole church prophetic. That's what it's to be. Thanks, Bill. I'm finishing there. Amen. Hope that wasn't too long. Where was it? Amen. So you can imagine, can't you, that I was very thrilled to hear the different things that came through earlier, you know, in our praying, in the comp, what Mike said, what Mark shared, what came through in our prayers. Amen.